Retro Hangover, supported via Patreon by listeners like you. We'd especially like to thank patrons Lyle McCarnes, Ashton Ruby, Randall Quiggle, Tony G, Stustle Smash the Milkman, Raging Demon, Katie Quigg, JC, Megan Caruso, Mast Keaton, Andrew Liguori, Ozzy Garcia, The Retro Vixen, Adam from The Good, The Bad, The Backlog, Lunchbox, aka The Disgruntled Gamer, Discimera, Jenny E, Rick Firestone, Parallax Puddles, Soha, Dave Jackson, Matt, aka Stormageddon, Retro Overdrive, Van Fernal, Keith Gasper, Eric Guess, Nomad from the Retro Wildlands Podcast, Ash Event, Alan Bingham, Storm Beagle, Ryan Player One, Mike the Ref from Backbreaker Gaming, B Ross from Super Garbage Day, Darth Emick, Low Five Alex, and Alt. Your continued engagement and generous donations are deeply appreciated. Welcome to The Flight, a consumable curation of champions and catastrophes that is considerate of your chronometer. It is I, Chris Copeland, your humble trash man. I am trash because I am sitting in the bottom of a bargain bin, much like the games that we are talking about today. And you know what? Not everything that costs little has small value. In fact, these games have tremendous value, the biggest value, the best value, believe me, I've been told. And to help me out with this today, it is your dick dragon, your bargain dick dragon,
ooh,
Shane Kosky. How are you doing today, Shane?
Pretty good. I guess the dollar store dick dragon? Is that what we're going with?
Ooh.
Yeah, I like the alliteration.
Yeah. Dollar General Dick Dragon.
There we go. Yeah, actually, I like that one better. It's got a sense of pomp and circumstance to it with the word general. I like it.
Yep. It comes with a side of crack and meth as well. So we will be getting into what games we think are cheap and good. But I want everyone... I won't say this. Shane... We had a little conversation off mic here because I know you're not a collector.
I am not.
So can you get into your definition of what you will be defining as bargain bin for this?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, there are several different permutations of the definition of bargain bin, right? I mean, some people think of it as sort of like the B-tier games that are not made by, you know, your big name development studios, the things that don't have quite the same level of polish, that are like, you know, usually half price even when they're at full price, you know, so they got released at like $30. And I think that's a valid approach. The way that I'm taking this one is it's not necessarily that. It's more these are games that you could have, or perhaps still can in some cases, find quite literally in a bargain bin for, you know, maybe $5 or $10 now, or even years ago. They could have been made by AAA studios or something like that. Maybe not. But I'm not relegating myself to just that sort of like B tier category. Though I will say, interestingly enough, I think the majority of my list still kind of fits into that. So I'm somewhere in that realm. I'm not talking from the hardcore physical collector's perspective, which I think Chris is kind of coming from that angle a bit more than I am, I think.
Yes, I am. And I'm going to define that really quickly because this topic was recommended by Ozzy Garcia, who I also know is a feller.
He's a feller.
Who I know is also a collector of the video games. And I think is slowly trying to get out of it through the Polymega, which I want to check out. He's been sharing his adventure through the Polymega over in our Discord, but he suggested through his topic that it'd be less than $10 complete in box. And that was the challenge looking through my collection. So that is what I will be doing. I initially considered doing some loose games in the case of the Nintendo Entertainment System and the N64. However, I found enough games that were under $10 that were also complete in box. But the reason I was going to initially consider those is because Nintendo and N64, and for the fact of the matter, Super Nintendo games, they have those cardboard boxes, so as soon as you get into the complete in box territory, it becomes just financially ridiculous. So I don't think that would have been fair. However, that's kind of your primer. I'm not going to include any of those games in there. Also, I took my values based off price charting. I took games that were in my collection and games I have played. And if they're not exactly under $10, they will be plus or minus within 5% of that value that I'm going to be talking about today. So there's my hardcore collector brief for all of you. That's the perspective I am coming from, which I think is fairly balanced. But I think before I talk your ear off about collecting, because I have done that too many times in the past, I'm going to kick it back over to Shane for our number five. So Shane, why don't you let us know what your number five pick for Bargain Bin Games is today?
Number five.
All right, I'm going to start off my list with a sort of semi-specific entry, but it's part of a larger series that one could argue went into bargain bin status as a whole once the popularity sort of wore off, that series being Guitar Hero. But mine specifically is Guitar Hero Metallica. So a lot of, you know, at the height, right, of the plastic instrument craze, not only did we have the mainline Guitar Hero games, as well as Rock Band and some other less successful takes on the thing, like Band Hero or DJ Hero or whatever the fuck else, but they had several, like, sort of offshoot games or that were like specific to certain bands. Like there was also Guitar Hero Aerosmith, for example. But I went with Metallica because obviously I'm a metal kind of guy.
Obviously.
And truth be told, it's actually really like, if you're a rock or metal fan, you don't even necessarily need to be a huge Metallica fan specifically, but it's a solid game for, you know, a pretty decent price. I don't know about now. I'm sure everything's through the roof now, but at least at the time, it was definitely like a bargain bin title. And I think it got there kind of quickly because it was sort of like one of those, you know, like offshoot titles from the mainline. And to be fair, I guess it's a somewhat smaller like target audience, even though Metallica is like the biggest hard rock band on the fucking planet. But with all that being said, I think it's a good way to start off my list. I know I remember specifically a certain patron of ours and myself used to rock out to this quite a bit back in our crazy college days. So yeah, I want to start off with some Guitar Hero Metallica. Starting off strong.
Good number five pick, Shane, and praise the Penguin for that friend of yours.
Indeed.
Going into my number five, I'm going to start out with a game. This is the only game I think on my list that isn't a game I particularly care for, but I think this is a good game to recommend just because of all the accolades it has. A lot of people like it, and I am occasionally willing to admit that I may not have the best taste. I mean, that's a lie. I never admit that. But in this case, I'm going to say that I might not have the best taste because people love this game. And some people call it the best game of all time. I honestly think it's because they didn't play any games with plots outside of what mainstream video games were. But hey, that's up to you. That's your taste in gaming. That's fine. And my pick for my number five is The Last of Us Remastered for the PlayStation 4. Also, The Last of Us, if you have it for the PlayStation 3, is also under $10. You can get this game extremely cheap. And if you get the remastered for your PS4, you can play it on the PS5 as well without having to play that pesky remake that costs way more than $10 right now. It'll be $10 eventually because that's what the series does because it's a mainstream video game. But a lot of people like The Last of Us Remastered. I think the gameplay is clunky. I think the story is highly overrated. I do not think it's a bad game. I don't think it's like super up there in hype. I know I'm not doing a very good job of selling it right now, but I think if you go to any single fan review site and you see the passion that fans have for this game, it's definitely a top-notch game that people love, and you can get it for less than $10. So, you know, go out there and see if it's for you. I know it's not for me, but a lot of people do. And hey, it might click. And it's hard not to recommend a game that popular, that big, that beloved for less than a tenner. So my number five is The Last of Us Remastered.
Number four.
Okay, well, we're gonna roll right into our number four. So I feel like this might be kind of surprising just from sort of the source material. You'd think it'd be bigger, but I kind of feel like this was sort of a niche title anyway. And also, to be fair, it was kind of hampered a bit by some lack of polish. But my number four is Epic Mickey. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, my wife and I really enjoyed this game. Well, actually, both of them, Power of Two, we played that one together as well. And I think it's a shame that I feel like these didn't quite get the love that maybe they deserve. They are a little rough around the edges. I'm not going to lie about that. And we certainly ran into our share of jank playing through both of these games. But I think the heart that it has in it is worth, you know, kind of soldiering through some of those problems. And given that you can pick it up for next to nothing, most likely, full spoiler alert, by the way, I did not go and check any current prices for any of this shit. So for all I know, you could listen to this and be like, no, Epic Mickey's like $300 now. I highly doubt that. But at least at the time, it was definitely a pretty heavily discounted game because it just didn't perform quite as well as perhaps some might have thought it would, given that it's a Disney title and it does in fact star their, you know, their biggest guy, the mouse himself. But yeah, so I think it's definitely worth it. And I want to say, and I don't know if this is still a thing, I thought I heard some tell of perhaps a remaster of this coming. Is that right? Have you heard
that's
anything?
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Yes, that is true. 100% true.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I think it might be worth jumping back into it because I'm hoping that all of the sort of, you know, janky issues are fixed with the remake. And if it is, then I think a lot more people are going to realize what a, you know, fun experience the game actually is once you're free from some of those, you know, detractors as far as like the controls and some of those things are concerned. So here's to looking forward to the remaster. Hopefully that'll get it to a whole new audience.
My son has actually been watching a ton of Epic Mickey YouTube videos because he is hyped for that remaster. And he said, like, oh, I still need to beat the original. I'm like, well, if you're hyped for this one, I don't understand why. It looks to be the same game. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good pick. That was a game that was really hyped and really loved when it came out. So yeah, Epic Mickey, number four for you, is solid pick. My number four, my next two picks are kind of cheating in a way, but I'm going to roll with it. My number four is a compilation disc, and it is Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, which is under $10, complete in box for both the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. You can get this game with a ton of Sega Genesis content, and it also includes some arcade games, or ROMs, I mean, it's not a disc, they're emulated, right? So I think that includes like arcade copies of Altered Beast, Fantasy Zone. You also get copies of Master System games that are hard to get, like Golden Axe Warrior and Phantasy Star. I think that's the only compilation that Phantasy Star is available on until they came out with the Sega Ages version on the Nintendo Switch, which has all the improvements. But you're going to be playing an original ROM here, and that's actually quite awesome if you just want to play games as close to the original format as you can without having a Master System that's officially licensed. I know a lot of asterisks there. But this collection is actually pretty fully fleshed out. has some games that some of the other Genesis collections that were released later on the PS4, Switch, and Xbox One later don't have. Of course, they have games that this one doesn't have, but this game's solid. It's under $10, and if you have a 360 or a PS3, and a lot of you do, I'm not sure if it's backwards compatible. I'm not going to say it is, but I do know that this version, at least I think it was available on Steam, but it's a really good collection, and if you have the means to play it, it's cheap. It's a ton of games for your Genesis. It's not a mini, so it's not going to cost you $100. So yeah, go check it out. If you love the Sega Genesis and you don't have a Sega Genesis and you think emulation is scary or you have input lag on your computer, this is a really viable option that you can pick up for extremely, extremely little cheddar. And get some good Master System games on top of it, too. Have you played Golden Axe Warrior? You should play Golden Axe Warrior, because it's a Zelda clone that does Zelda right. Go check it out. I think it's fantastic. My number four, Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Number three.
Okay, going right into the midst of the list, just right down the middle. We are going into my comfy zone, my familiar space, and that is the venerable action RPGs. And truth be told, there's actually a few that could have gone here. Like, I'm pretty sure I could have thrown Divine Divinity specifically on here, but I didn't. But instead, I went with one that I have a lot of actually really fond memories of, and it's the original Dungeon Siege.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, I guess the best way to describe it is it's sort of like a B-tier Neverwinter Nights mixed with Diablo, kinda. I don't know if that really does it justice, because, and the reason I say B tier is because this is one of those games that I feel really fits into that sort of like bargain bin gem category, because it does not have the same level of polish as something like, you know, whatever, Diablo 2 or, you know, some of those bigger budget titles. It never did. It always had that, and this is my favorite word for this, and I'm sure there are other synonyms, but I don't care. I'm just going to keep using it. But it does have that certain level of jank to it that, you know, it's not so egregious that it makes you want to quit playing, but it's like Skyrim jank, you know, where it's like it's still so, it's sort of endearing, kind of.
Would you call it a jank ne sais quoi?
I would. A little jank ne sais quoi.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. But yeah, so I actually played the campaign of Dungeon Siege all the way through at least twice. I really like it. There's something about it that just really clicks with me. And actually, it's funny because doing this list today in preparation for the recording, I put this on here and there was a not insignificant part of me that was like, I should really reinstall Dungeon Siege. But then I was just like, no, fucking, I don't have time for that right now. But at any rate, it's definitely a quality action RPG experience. It's got a pretty solid campaign, and it was at least extremely reasonably priced. So definitely worth your time if you're into that sort of thing.
All right, my next up is my number three is a game I actually got with Shane with me.
Ooh.
Interestingly. And he'll probably remember the story. And you can get the original version of the game I'm about to say for also less than $10. It's a PS2 game. You can also get sequel for less than $10. And it is the Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD Collection.
Mm.
Shane, do you remember when I got this game?
You know, you're putting me on the spot for this now. And honestly, I actually don't remember.
So Shane was with me. We were probably slightly inebriated as we went to a Denny's.
See, that might be why.
After this. Yes. This was at one of Tiger's Jack's arcade events. I think that's what they called it. It didn't matter. It was the fucking arcade party. And it was at the end of the night, and someone who had won one of Tiger's gifts, which was Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD for the PlayStation 3, they left it and abandoned it, and the entire dive bar was empty. So I was like, oh, look, it's Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD. I wonder if I should take this. And Shane's like, no one else is here. I'm like, yeah, I'm taking this. So I took it and I went home with it.
Oh, so the moral of this story is that I was a bad influence. Okay, got it.
No, you were a good influence. It's common sense. If there's a game that's sealed and sitting there and no one is going to claim it, and like the entire bar was empty. I just want to clarify this. Me and Shane and a couple other people cleared out the bar that night before we went to Denny's and had pancakes. So I wanted to make sure that, like, before I claimed this game that was handed out by Tiger, that everyone else was gone, and they were. So I grabbed it and went to my car next to the Folgers Coffee Factory before I took my ass to Denny's. And that's how I got this game. And you can also get this game for super cheap. Maybe not that way, but you like the 10 and 10-2 HD collection is regardless of what you get it for, whether it be Switch, PS4, Xbox One, PS3, there's like a million ways to get this collection now. It is ridiculously cheap. And this is, in my opinion, objectively the best Final Fantasy game. It's my second favorite in the series behind Final Fantasy IV. It might be third favorite now behind Final Fantasy V. I'm still like wrestling in that around in my mind, but it's a fantastic game. If you haven't played it, it has a lot of modern conventions without getting too old school and not being too modern. It's not like your action RPG like the modern Final Fantasies are. So if you like RPGs and you want to spend a little bit of money and get the best game in the premier series objectively, then yeah, you owe it to yourself to go get this collection. Does it have like graphical effects that might be a little off compared to the original? Sure. But you can, like I already said, you can get the originals on the PlayStation 2 for also dirt cheap, if that's what's really floats your boat. But if like, hey, this is a little bit upgraded, it's a little bit more accessible, go get yourself the Final Fantasy 10 and 10-2 HD collection for your library.
See, all that story reminded me of is, do you remember when we used to have the stamina to close down the bar and then also go to Denny's after? I can't even imagine doing that now.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know how we did it.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Because that it closed down at what, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
My wife was so mad at me. I don't think we got back until like 5 o'clock that night.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, moving on.
Number two.
All right, getting to my number two before I start to feel sad. Let's see. We're going to go with, technically, I think this entire series of games, it's not really a series. I don't even, what the fuck do you call it? I don't know. I'm going to say series. It's not accurate, but whatever. Could probably qualify for this, but I'm picking this one specifically just because of the pure value proposition of it. And that is the Lego Star Wars Complete Saga. Mm. You basically get all of the Star Wars Saga Lego games, so the prequels and 4, 5, 6, all in one package, and it was all done to like sort of bring them all together. So you have like the cantina as sort of like your hub area, and then you can go off into the different episodes and play through each one of them, and it's a massive game because of that, and it could be got for basically a song, especially given how much value you're getting out of this thing. And the reason I say that they could all fit that is because eventually pretty much all of these Lego games, as good as they are, because I still stand by the fact that I think Lego nailed a really solid formula with these games, and I genuinely enjoyed pretty much every one of the ones that I played, and I played quite a few of them. But as far as like bang for your buck, like it's kind of hard to beat this. Now, I know they did some other collections. I think they packaged all the Harry Potter Lego games together at one point, too, and probably some other ones. But as far as I'm concerned, this one is one of my favorites out of all of those. And because there's so much included on basically one disc, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, if you hate the Lego game formula, then obviously you're not going to like it. But if you dig that sort of thing, like there are very few other games where you get this much quality content for so few dollars.
No, that makes sense. That 100% makes sense. That's a great choice. The Lego games have tremendous value. Like you said, even if you don't like it, but this is a great game. If you have children, like, go get that.
Yeah.
And they become extremely cheap relatively quickly, too. So if you missed out on getting it a few years ago and there's physical copies available, I'm sure, like, I'm almost sure, watch it be like a $500 game. I highly doubt it. But, I'm almost sure that game is easily affordable regardless. So my number two is a Wii U game.
Shocker.
And I'm happy to talk about the Wii U. Now, there's a ton of Wii U games I wanted to include, but some of them were like, you know what? I haven't played enough of it to give my solid seal of approval on it.
Mm.
But this game I played a ton of, and for a while I thought was the premier kart racer that was available on the market.
Is it Garfield Kart?
Oh, absolutely. You know it. But no. But it's a damn good kart racer, and I really wish more people would play it because it is that fucking good. And that is Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Mm.
And this is also available on your PS3 and Xbox 360. This is a tremendous kart racing game that for a while, as I already said, I thought this game for a little bit had more personality, more character, better track design than Mario Kart 8. I've kind of come around to that. I think Mario Kart 8 is the best kart racer ever made, but this one is right behind it. This is a severely underrated kart racing game if you love kart racers. I don't know why people don't talk about it as much as they do, because like no one will reference this. They'll always talk about, oh, Crash Team Racing or Diddy Kong Racing or Mario Kart 64. This game smokes all of them, like hands down smokes them in terms of fun. Now, it could be my Sega bias and nostalgia, like all those, you know, pleasure emitters just going off in my brain and just saying, yeah, playing as Alex Kidd is pretty fucking cool, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, but that could be it. But you know what? I think it's just a solid quality game that offers up enough variants of gameplay within single tracks. It has a good selection of characters that are modifiable to a certain extent. It has unlockable characters. And I will say, like, the way you unlock characters and the challenges you have to do, that can be kind of bullshit because some of those challenges become ridiculous in their difficulty. They're not exactly balanced, but for the most part, This is a game that is going to blow you away if you're a fan of kart racers. And you can get this game for any of those consoles, to include the Wii U, for less than $10. What are you waiting for? If you have access to play this, you should. It's just play it. It's a tremendous racing game, and I highly recommend it, obviously.
Yeah, no, that's a solid pick. I like that one.
Number one.
All right. Well, going right into our number ones, I'm going with what I think is a deep cut. I don't usually hear almost anybody talk about this, and it's kind of a shame. Although there is an HD remake currently in the works and is slated for a release in late 2024, which I'm actually kind of hyped for. And that is Gothic, the CRPG. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know how I found this game. I, truth be told, it might have been in a bargain bin to begin with. Damn, is it good. Like, this is the definition of jank, by the way. The control scheme is funky as all hell, and it definitely takes some getting used to, but it is a third-person character RPG. It was originally PC specific, or at least computer platform specific. And as far as I'm aware, I don't believe it even got onto consoles, weirdly, until the Nintendo Switch. There was a Gothic Classic version that got released for the Switch, of all things. So this game literally exists as an archaic PC game and then also a random version on the Switch, which is super odd. But it is, man, it's like, I feel like this game got overshadowed by things like the Elder Scrolls series And truth be told, that, I mean, that's probably justified in that generally I think the level of quality is going to be better in something like Morrowind or what have you. For context, by the way, Gothic was released in 2001. So, but I remember just getting totally immersed in this game. It is ambitious as all hell, and for the most part pulls it off pretty well. But the general like high level story is it's this fantasy world where the human kingdoms are fighting a hopelessly lost battle against the orc hordes. And there are these like prison colonies essentially that, you know, the humans are maintaining. And they find out that the only way to like have any hope against the orcs is to mine this like special ore that they find that has magical properties. And so they put all the prisoners to work in these mines. And you start out, your player character is a convict who gets sent to this mine. They never are clear on exactly what you are convicted for, but there's this magical like barrier that was constructed by the school of mages in this world to like sort of keep the prisoners inside of this mine area. And basically the whole game goes from there, and you start to see like these different factions develop within the mine sort of colony, and things expand out past there where you eventually, you know, are fighting this demon and all this stuff. But it gets pretty crazy. But the intricacy with which all of these systems were put into play in this game is just fascinating, especially for the time where it was very specific, like to down to the point of like, you know, hunting animals in the forests, like was your first primary way of gaining character experience, and then gathering like meat and materials from them. You could then go and cook it, and it would give you better HP bonuses for actually cooking things, and like you could learn different skills. And that sounds very like passé now, but back then in 2001, especially for a game that was made by, you know, almost no name, well, actually at the time was really a no name developer, because this series, there were three Gothic games, if my memory serves me correctly. And then there were the Risen series, and they did one other thing after that, but the developer was Piranha Bytes. And these were literally the only games they made. So like they were basically completely unknown, and they came out of the gate with Gothic. And to come out with that in the very beginning of, you know, the 2000s with this level of detail was crazy. And so because of that, I got super absorbed into this game and remember playing through the entirety of the campaign. And like the character choices that you make affect the story, which factions you join completely change how things play out. Like even to the point of choosing and modifying your class as your character, it depends on which, like, you know, NPCs you sort of ally with. And it is super deep. And if you can get past the jank, and at this point, I'm pretty sure that there are some like community mods that help with a lot of that. Man, it is a good character RPG. And so I have a lot of hope for the remake that's coming out, because they've talked about not only expanding the game world by a little bit, they said somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10-30%, but also, you know, giving it a good overhaul as far as modern control and UI design and those sorts of things. And so again, similar to, you know, something like you know, other things on my list, like Epic Mickey, for example, which also suffered from some control issues and some bugginess. If they can kind of like iron all that stuff out and give it a nice modern, you know, coat of paint and with a lot of more modern design sensibilities, man, I am really hoping that Gothic gets a whole new audience of people, because it didn't get what it deserved back then. And I really think it does deserve to have that attention.
So look out for Gothic on a Steam wishlist near you.
That's right.
All right, my number one is probably my favorite puzzle game of all time. I'm not saying it's the best. I will not besmirch the good name of Tetris. I think Tetris is far more accessible than this game. Well, not far more accessible. It is more accessible in a pick-up-and-play manner. However, I think this game is overall a better puzzle experience. It is extremely cheap. It is on a console that isn't current now, but I know it's gotten an HD remake. I don't know how much that costs, and I know the physical version was released by Limited Run. So, yeah, good luck with that. So, the physical release of this game, complete in box, is less than $10, and my recommendation for my number one pick that you need to play in the bargain bin is Lumens for the PlayStation Portable. This game is utterly fantastic. It combines puzzle-solving elements with music. And how it works is what you do is you have to build squares. And once you get four squares to make one square, or of course you can stack them differently to have connecting squares, stacked squares, whatever the case might be, that you get from pieces that have different colors that you come in four pieces and you put them down to make other squares. And the entire time a bar is going across your screen in rhythm with the music. And once that bar passes those completed items that make up squares within a single color block, they combine for chains and they combine for points. And it's highly addictive. I can't exactly describe it. I can't put it in words, but it's a brilliant, brilliant game. It's one of the few puzzle games I've actually beaten to completion, because this is a game I absolutely played the hell out of. It's a tremendous amount of fun for anyone who likes music, especially in the more house or techno kind of music genre. This is right up your alley. It's a beautiful game. It's what sold me on the PlayStation Portable, and it's what kept me hooked and kept me believing in the system, even when the Nintendo DS had my attention already. This game kept dragging me back. It's the game I took with me to work. It's the game I would take with me on flights when I worked in airplanes and I would fly around and stuff. This was the game I'd be playing in when I had nothing else to do. It's tremendous. And yeah, right now, according to the collector's market, according to price charting, it's right there at that $10 level, complete in box. And this is a game that I think any fan of the puzzle genre should play. It's that fucking good. So my number one pick is Lumens for the PSP, dirt cheap in the bargain bin. Please play it.
Nice. For some reason, my mind went immediately to Puzzle Quest. I thought you were going to say Puzzle Quest.
No. I mean, Puzzle Quest is fine, but no. I like Puzzle Quest. I have beaten that. It's just way too long.
Yeah, that is true. It does kind of overstay its welcome.
Yeah, that's a way to put it.
All right. Well, hey, there we go. There are our top five picks for best quality bargain bin titles. And of course, you know, there are plenty of other ones out there. But as far as we are concerned, these are maybe not the best five, but definitely right at the top of the pile. No pun intended, perhaps. So with that, we hope you enjoyed this list. And if you would like to contribute to these here flight episodes, either by voting on which topics get chosen, or perhaps just going all in and being able to suggest topics yourself, man, you can do that. And we do make that fairly simple, very straightforward. It's one place. You just got to go to our link tree. So head on over to linktr.ee/retrohangover, and all of the buttons will be there, just waiting for you, just in anticipation of you gently caressing them with your fingertips. And
push that button.
That's right. And, you know, maybe if we get enough people signing up, we'll start an ASMR channel or something. Who knows? Please don't hold me to that. but anyway, please go check that stuff out. If you'd like to support the show in that sort of way, then you can check out our Patreon or perhaps our merch store. You can also see our socials on there, as well as our YouTube channel and also the Twitch.tv space where we go on and occasionally we play video games and are sometimes maybe kind of okay at them. So Chris, if people want to see mediocre gameplay with arguably better conversation, where can they go?
Hell.
Oh,
or
all right.
Or you can go to twitch.tv. Yeah. Or you can go to twitch.tv/retrohangover, 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. And you know what? Join us there because we have a great conversation with our tremendous members of our community. And we love all of them. In fact, I give them all shout outs when they show up, if I can remember what shows they're on, if I'm sober enough, which you know what? You never know what Chris you're going to get on a Sunday night. That's also part of the experience. But hey, just head on over there. Find out for yourself. It's over at twitch.tv/retrohangover at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. And I hope to see you there.
As do I. And with all of that being said, until next time.
Play with your it's limp, but at least it was cheap and budgetly titled joysticks.